And now, the Phil Henry Show with Phil Henry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Henry.
Tonight we have Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier, and Doug will be with us to talk about his attempts at becoming an embedded journalist in Iraq. Doug is, as he says quite frequently, a gay man and a gay journalist. We'll also have Daryl Fitzgerald with a feature called Your Mom Comebacks. Great comebacks for anybody that insults you, featuring the words Your Mom and Last Night. Also, we're going to have on our program Chef Carl Chedilia with a turkey stuffing recipe, and Jack Van Staples, the world's oldest veteran. And speaking of Veterans Day, we have on the line with us, we're very proud to have on the line with us, from Disney World in Orlando, Florida, we have a satellite uplink to him, Mr. Blaine Baxter. Mr. Baxter is the poet laureate of Great Britain. He is in residence as poet laureate at Cambridge University. And my understanding is driving right now, actually, on a tram at Disney World, looking for his car. And I thank you very much, Mr. Baxter, for being with us.
Thank you.
And you are going to read today, as a tribute to our veterans, what, sir?
I'm going to read the Battle Hymn of the Republic that was written by Julia Ward Howe.
All right, sir, at any time you'd like, we're all ears.
And I want to, at this time, certainly I want to point out that I have a lazy eye, or as a colloquial...
You have a wandering eye, sir?
A colloquial, might put it, a wonky eye. One of my eyes is slightly off, and if that becomes a problem, certainly I will back up, but I'm...
So you have a wandering eye.
Yes, wonky.
All right.
This is the Battle Hymn of the Republic, Julia Ward Howe. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of Haunted Mansion closed for repair.
Okay, hold on for a minute.
Right. Let me start again.
Is your eye shifting off, or...?
Yes, it wonks out. So that I'm...
Occasionally you'll see a sign.
Yeah, well, one eye reads the poem and the other is looking at...
I understand.
Forgive me.
Certainly.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the facial lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth... is Goofy Section C.
I'm sorry.
Okay, did I?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to have my wife hold it.
Yeah. Something, sir, because it...
What did I...
His truth is Goofy Section C.
His truth is marching on.
Yeah.
Have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damp. And read his righteous sentence by the dim flaring lamps. His day is Disney Pin Collectors Convention, now November 14th.
But wait a minute, that's not part of it, sir.
You're sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, I could swear it was on the paper.
It might have been your eye wonking off.
Oh, no, 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 no. You know who you're speaking to?
I understand, Mr. Baxter, and I would never presume to tell you how to read a beautiful printed word, but I'm simply saying you said his day is Disney Pin Collectors Convention, now November 14th.
And that's not it?
No, that's not part of the Battle Hymn of the Republic.
Please don't interrupt. I've read a fiery gospel written burnished rows of steel. Pirates of the Caribbean, 100 yards ahead. Let the hero...
All right, we got to...
What's this guy doing?
What are you doing? Why are you interrupting me?
You blew it again because,
I'm sure I'm...
Pirates of the Caribbean 100 yards ahead?
Well, it rhymes. Please don't bother me. He has sounded forth the trump...
But I have to...
Shut up and let me finish. I'm Blaine Baxter, and I'm the poet laureate. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men... before his please seat small children in the middle tram seat. Oh, be swift, Mike.
Get him out of here, will you, until he can read that thing properly.
He's on the line. He wants to get back on.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, but...
Don't ever cut me off. I said that to my wife, and I say it to you. Don't ever cut me off. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom. Fireworks start 9 p.m.
All right. See, bud, when we want to get a man on to honor the veterans with the Battle Hymn of the Republic...
Make sure the eye didn't walk out.
Exactly.
Sorry.
What is it with you booking these guys, man?
He's a poet laureate of England. What do you want?
Well, you gotta tell me the guy's got one eye that drifts. Epcot Center, a quarter of a mile. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's an example of what I'm talking about when I talk about broadcasters and the great courage that they show. There's some TV stations that on, is it today or when is this? Veterans Day? Tonight. Saving Private Ryan, they don't want to air it. You want to know why? Because they use bad words in it. This is the insanity. See, what's going on is these guys can't lift a finger, they can't move a bowel, they can't sweat, they can't even drop a bead of sweat without first checking with Michael Powell, which happens to rhyme with bowel. In other words, even sensible adults who understand that Saving Private Ryan is a marvelous work of historic recreation and pathos, it is a trip into the existential hell of war that common men experienced during the Second World War. All of those marvelous things. No, it all boils down to the fact that they use the F word, so they don't want to put that on the air, even if they disclaim it. Now, ABC, to their credit, is going to air it anyway, saying, my God, this thing, it won an Oscar. It's, you know, and of course they did. They aired, remember when they aired Schindler's List? But they gave a big disclaimer, you know, don't watch it. If there's kids, don't let the kids watch it. But these cats that own TV, and one of them is Cox Broadcasting. I used to work for them, so it shouldn't surprise me. And these guys said, well, you know, let me just read what some of them said. Under strict interpretation of the rules, we can't run that program in before 10 p.m. Under strict interpretation. And to some extent, you sort of understand their feeling, because all it takes is one letter from one person who wants to throw a monkey wrench into the cultural works. In other words, it's not somebody who's going to be offended by the F word, but they know that they can probably get a TV station's license pulled by writing a, because it's all political. Don't ever think that people who complain to the FCC have anything other than political motives. And they realize the FCC, hyper-vigilant, ever since Janet Jackson showed us all something that I could have done without seeing. Nothing against Janet, but if you're going to show me something like that, could it please be someone like maybe, oh, I don't know, Angelina Jolie? Or
you mean a white woman?
No, not a white woman. Someone better looking. So... Owner, other stations that decided not to air the movie, WGNO of New Orleans, MUR of Manchester, and a bunch of other people. An FCC spokeswoman said Wednesday the agency does not monitor television broadcasts. Now, what they tried to do is get an advance waiver. They tried to get a waiver from the FCC saying we will not fine you if you air this film, because we certainly understand the context. It's Veterans Day. We know the import of a film like this, but the FCC wouldn't give that to them. Now, what's going on? Well, whatever is going on, it is simply one more nail in the coffin of commercial broadcasting. Just one more nail. Now, you know what one of the nails was, the success, the relative success in recent years of HBO, Showtime, the pay channels, which offer programming uncut, uncensored, without commercials, to adults, all grown up. In other words, people like you and I, we're all grown up, and we wash behind our own ears, we can even wipe without our mother's help, and we can actually watch a TV show that has poo-poo and pee-pee in it and not go out and commit mayhem at a McDonald's. That was nail number one. Nail number two was about 3-4 weeks ago when Sirius announced they were signing Howard Stern. Satellite, as I mentioned to you, satellite radio will now become it'll become the movies to commercial radio's television. And unless this business of mine moves into the 21st century and begins to treat people like grown-ups, and I don't give a crap how many Bible thumpers got Bush elected. They're going to kill him in the end if he keeps pandering to these people because they represent not a whole lot of folks. Yeah, Iraq, yeah, I know. They got him. They voted for him. Thank you very much, folks. I appreciate it because I supported the president. Now, why don't you go back to your Bible? Why don't you go back to your prayer meeting? Because you're screwing everything up. You're screwing up my good time. And so, you know, the other nail was this satellite, because what's going to happen is everybody's going to tune over to satellite. They're not going to listen to this crap. They're going to listen to, you know, commercial radio where I have to sweat and every other broadcaster has to sweat no matter how hard you work. Oh, my God, I let the word boob get out on the air. Oh, God. And I got to go home and I got to worry about that all night. Forget about whether I did a good show or not. I got to sweat all night long whether I'm going to get a call from the boss because I let the word boob get out. Do you understand that this is what I'm dealing with at the age of 50 freaking two, 31 years in the stinking business?
Oh, man, you're going to go on about that, aren't you?
I just thought I'd bring it up.
31 years in the business?
How long you been in the business?
3 months?
3 weeks. An FCC spokeswoman said Wednesday, well, who cares? WSOC, WSOC of Charlotte said it received complaints about language in the movie when it was aired in 2001-2002. Yeah, you want to know why? Because it was all them anti-war people who were all bummed out about the fact that people were sort of getting a regenerated interest in our armed forces through Saving Private Ryan, and they couldn't let that happen, so why don't they start calling in complaints because they heard the word PP on Saving Private Ryan? The quote here from Lee Armstrong, the station's vice president, now after much concern and discussion about family viewing over the past months and with Americans at war across the world, it is the vivid depiction of violence combined with graphic language proposed to begin airing at 8 p.m. that has forced our decision. Can you believe a man who runs a radio station has a thought process like this? In other words, he says because there is a war in Iraq, showing Saving Private Ryan would be insensitive?
You got dead air, Phil.
I know I got dead air, and you just messed it up by talking. After much concern and discussion about family viewing, let's underline the word family viewing. What does that mean? He doesn't know. I remember when I was a kid, I used to sit at the dinner table. Not a night could go by without my old man talking about something out of World War II. Every night he was talking about the Germans this and the Germans that. And one night we did this, and one night we did that. It was part of my growing up. If you had a father who was a veteran, it was part of your growing up. I don't know. But my old man talked all about Krauts and Germany and the war and Italy and this and that and everything else, you know. So he says, it is the vivid depiction of violence combined with graphic language proposed to begin airing at 8 p.m. He means the movie that forced our decision. This poor, befuddled fool, not unlike a lot of broadcast managers across the country, believes that because America is engaged in what I consider to be a heroic fight in Iraq, and these images are coming back to us in the United States, it would be insensitive to show another depiction of heroic American soldiers, on top of which, showing those soldiers in combat conditions where every now and again one of them lets out with the F word, which, under the circumstances, I'm sure you would understand. He puts all of that together in his pea brain, and he says, well, we better not show it because someone's going to call the FCC, and the next thing you know, I'm going to be back selling fruit on a freeway on-ramp. Anyway, Saving Private Ryan, airing tonight on most of your ABC stations, I guess. 1-800-449-8686. Tonight, Bob Bakey and live from Cairo on the death of Yasser Arafat, Chef Carl Cedilia, Daryl Fitzgerald with your mom comebacks, and Doug Danger in our second hour on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We're going to check in with Bob Bakian, who is over Cairo right now. Don't forget, coming up, Doug Danger in our second hour, a gay man and a gay journalist. Bob Bakian with us. Bob, you've been monitoring Arafat's autopsy?
That is correct, Phil. We are present right over the medical facility in Cairo where Arafat has his body has been taken for the post-mortem, the autopsy, and right now the cause of death seems to be pointing toward a baggie of balloon of heroin in the stomach. So we'll be back with more of that, but we're pretty sure it was some kind of a blockage. They pulled a big balloon of smack out of his gut, and that probably is what killed the old bastard. Bob Bakian reporting.
All right, thanks, Bob, for that. So Arafat found, the doctors apparently find a balloon of heroin in Arafat's stomach, which apparently he swallowed just before the Israelis busted in because he didn't want to get popped. He didn't want to get popped for a what is it called? It's a Title II offense. 1-800-449-8686. So some guy just called, but he didn't want to go on the air because he was afraid to. And he said, that's what you get for voting for Bush. What do you think? It's going to be different with Kerry? Look. Ace, the law is the law, man. Do you understand that the Congress wrote this stuff into law? Now, nobody's checked the constitutionality of it, but this stuff was passed by the Congress. Kerry can't do anything about it. Besides, I've been broadcasting for the last 4 years, and check me if I'm wrong about this, but I think Bush was president, and I ain't off the air. Now, this has got to do more with the paranoia of broadcasters. Believe me, because I understand this business. I've been in it so long, and I know the mindset of these guys. It's almost sickening. I mean, this doesn't have anything to do with politics. This has to do with the kind of guys that are attracted to this business and go into managing radio and television stations. They're bottom line guys. It's all about making a dollar, which of course it's supposed to be about making a dollar, but they don't understand what can really turn a nice dollar for them sometimes. Airing a show like Saving Private Ryan might actually be a positive. Commercial positive. Taking these kinds of risks are a part of what brings us, you know, the next generation of radio show and television show. But even if it was a controversial movie, like, say, they wanted to run, suppose they wanted to air some, I don't know, like a porn movie or something, but they, you know, it had some sort of redeeming social value, I could understand it. This is a flick called Saving Private Ryan. This has nothing to do with gratuitous profanity. It doesn't have anything to do with prurient sexual content. It's about the war, about World War II. It's about a bunch of soldiers who every now and again say dirty words. Yeah, the violence is graphic. It's an easy thing to just say to your kids, you're not watching this, right? The reason why everybody got bent out of shape about that Janet Jackson broad is because right in the middle of the Super Bowl, without any warning, I'm sitting there with my daughter, and here comes Janet Jackson doing a strip act. I got no problem with that. I just, you know, if you don't mind, would you mind if I check with my kid first to see if it's kind of like if she gets out of the room? Or is that too much to ask? Some people think it's like an imposition on their freedom that somebody check with me before they show their breast to my kid. I don't think that that's such a horrible imposition on your freedom. I think that it's just, you know, me checking, hey, before you whip your genitals out, could I get my kid out of the room? Is that all right? No, it's an imposition of a restriction on our creative process. What are you talking about? And I just want to get my kid out of the room, man. That's all. No. You can't do that. I want to show her my genitals. Well, you may not do that. Oh, well, I guess you're not down with the First Amendment then. Is that it, dude? What are you crazy? That's how it gets twisted, see? Hi, I'm Janet Jackson. Do you mind if I show my breast to your 13-year-old kid? Sorta. Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And if you say no, then it's an imposition of my, whole trip, First Amendment freedom, and like that. Good God! And so if you raise a feeble voice in protest, you simply say, I just want to get my kids out of the room, you're some kind of a Nazi. Everybody's like into this paranoid extreme these days, which is beyond belief, utterly beyond belief. It must be the times we're living in. Everyone's got their underwear just squeezed so tight, man, it's cutting the blood flow off to their thing. Their brain, that is. If, in point of fact, their brain is down there, which in a lot of these people's case, it is. 1-800-449-8686. Back with Daryl Fitzgerald and Great Your Mom Comebacks. Chef Carl Chedilia, Jack Van Staples, the oldest veteran. Coming up in our second hour, it'll be Doug Danger. And tomorrow night, Clara Bingham, middle school teacher, will be on with us. On The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We got Doug Danger in a few minutes on our show, and with me from the Chumash Casino in Solvang, California, is Daryl Daryl Fitzgerald, who's written a book called Your Mom Comebacks. Daryl, what you doing up there, man?
Well, just having a little bit of R&R, Phil, after the book tour. And my wife wanted me to bring our mobile home up here, so that's what we're doing. And we're having a wonderful time. It's always great to see the people up here in Solvang, and we're going to go out to the Danish bakeries and spend a little bit of time, I think, at Thanksgiving here. It's really a lot of fun.
Are you a writer by trade?
I am a writer. I've written some 300 books. At last count, the Guinness Book of Records had me as the, just, I think, about the number two, number three published author in the world behind Steve Allen, and I think there's some other gentleman, I can't remember who.
And your latest book is called Your Mom Comebacks. Tell me about that.
The book Your Mom is, seriously, Phil, I got the idea when I was told that I was a little overweight by a member of our medical staff at work because I was trying to get some insurance. And she said, you need to lose weight, and I thought that was insulting. I thought that even though the EEG readout showed that my heart muscle was seriously damaged by a series of heart attacks I had last year, the fact that I was overweight was none of her business. She was not a doctor, she's a nurse, and she said, you need to lose weight. I thought it was very insensitive and cruel. And so I thought, what can I say to her? What can I say to this nurse? And I thought, as I was leaving, your mom, and then the words last night. So, in other words, she said to me, you need to lose some weight. And I turned and I said to her, well, your mom needed to lose a little weight last night. And I thought, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. It was very satisfying. And I began to come up with these different ways of...
So, wait a minute. So, in other words, all you do is just throw the same insult back with the words your mom and last night?
To a degree, yeah, where you can create a double entendre. You can turn it back on itself. For instance, if somebody were to say to you, you know, those shoes you're wearing are pretty big, you can say, well, you know what, it was pretty big with your mom last night. And so it doesn't have to be an insult so much as just a playoff of someone that's something that somebody said.
I mean, I thought this was a book on comebacks for insults.
It could be insults, but you see, if someone says that your shoes are big, you're basically being told that you got big feet, which may or may not be a good thing. But you just turn it around on a person. It's the best way, too, because we live in a day and age where the answer to so many things is violence. And for my money, at least, I think the best thing to do is to just come back with something snappy.
All right, the chapter here, comebacks on the playground.
Comebacks on the playground. Say something like, boy, if you weren't so fat, you know, maybe you could have made that shot. You can say something like, well, I sure made the shot last night with your mom. See? And so that...
I mean, these are like quasi-sexual, aren't they?
Well, it depends upon the person listening. It depends upon the mind of the person listening. It depends upon the person listening. For instance, someone could say, boy, you sure need a shower. And you could say, well, I was in the shower last night with your mom. And, you know, that kind of thing. And someone will say to you, you're really stupid. And you can say, well, your mom was pretty stupid last night. So
just keep saying your mom and last night.
Exactly. You hit like a girl. Well, your mom sure hit like a girl last night. So that is the gist of it.
Well, thank you very much, Daryl, for that. It sounds pretty stupid.
Well, you sound stupid? Well, you know what? Your mom was stupid last night.
Thank you. Jackass book. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Our show last night was Justin McElroy, a high school senior from Canyon High School, and he wants Friday off for all of his compatriots to play Halo 2, the new video game that was released on Tuesday night to much acclaim and about $125 million over a 24-hour period. They want to take a day off to play Halo 2, and when people said that was stupid, he said, well, why are we taking off Veterans Day? I don't get that either.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've had, I don't know, you're...
Look, dude,
you don't need
the bottle down,
day off. You want to play your games, playing on Veterans Day. You already got that day off.
How come you're drinking?
Oh, I'm driving a truck, you dummy. I'm not drinking.
Well, it sounds like you've been drinking or something.
Why don't you have a little respect for the caller, okay? You don't know anything about him.
Yeah, you don't.
Hey, how come they get to have Veterans Day off?
I don't get Veterans Day off. I never have.
Well,
because I'm not a federal, state,
yeah, but
county, city employee, school teacher, librarian, or a banker.
Yeah,
I don't
also,
get...
the reason why you don't get the day off is because you drive a beer truck, and that's like having a vacation all the time.
And as for your friend...
I think you'd like to smack me.
As for your friend that brought the Columbine literature to school, yeah, he'd get the day off. He'd get 30 days in a row off he'd have to make up after the school year.
What are you talking about?
Your little friend that brought the Columbine literature to school.
He was just sending a message to the adults that...
Send a message to him, give him 30 days off, that he's got to make up at the end of the school year.
He'd be suspended.
Well, yeah.
Well, okay, but see, you're lucky. You're just driving around out there with wine coolers in the back. What do you care?
I wish it was wine coolers.
Well, if you've played Halo 2, you'd understand what I'm saying. You should stop off at a truck stop where they have a lot of the good games and play it.
They don't have it in truck stops.
Don't interest me.
Well,
between Seattle and Portland, there ain't a whole lot of truck stops, and I wanted to stop it.
Are you kidding? You're driving between Seattle and Portland? God, I feel sorry for you.
Hey, pay the bill.
All right, listen, Dave, thank you very much, sir.
Yeah,
well, but keep on trucking, Pops.
Yeah, Pops, I'll pop you.
Don't bend over for the soap.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Jeez, I got to turn the microphone on, huh, bud?
You want me to do that for you, too?
No. No, I know how to do that. That's Justin McElroy, and let's take the day off for Halo, baby. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show here, and our email address, by the way, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. CBS had to apologize, by the way, for breaking into its primetime drama CSI NY for a special report on Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat's death, blaming an overly aggressive producer. Now, the reason why I cite this story for you guys, when Dan Rather was circulating all those phonied up documents that he went down to the, when he went down to the Culver print and had dummied up, he blamed a producer. I think that was the same excuse they gave then. Some low-level $30,000 a year producer. Now they got another producer that's in trouble. Boy, you guys at CBS, man, you got some cojones on you. Wow, what big men you are, huh? Low-level producer? Is there anybody over there that makes over $100,000 a year that takes responsibility for anything? Or what do you guys do? Just fire one intern after another? And why should you have to apologize for that? Why do you apologize for breaking? I thought you guys are proud of your news tradition over at CBS. I thought you were the big Edward R. Murrow Network, the Walter Cronkite Network, the Captain Kangaroo Network, all of those great newsmen. The Mr. Green Jeans Network. How come you guys are coming in and now apologizing? Gee, we're really sorry for giving you some information about the world. Now return to Fantasyland. Although I realize that people work hard all day long and they want to turn on CBS and completely escape from reality, just look at some mind-numbing, dumb eye candy, and CSI New York does it for me. But every now and again when something happens, for instance, let's say a nuclear bomb is dropped on New York. Do you think you'd have to apologize for busting in on that one? Probably. Let's say the president gets shot. Let's say the Pope has a heart attack and everyone sees the Virgin Mary come down and lift him up to heaven. Would you bust in for that? No, because you can't break CSI New York for nothing except this word from Tide Detergent. The only thing that breaks up that show, baby, is a sponsor. The network said the CSI New York episode would be repeated in its entirety. And I'm sure that when they apologized, it's, we are so, so sorry. You ought to be. I am so sorry that I would ever think to break into your precious show. CBS News spokeswoman Sandy Genital. That's her name. I swear to God, it says right here. Genelius. Oh, Genelius. I'm sorry. CBS News spokeswoman Sandy Genelius declined to identify the producer or say whether the person faces disciplinary action, but he said it's somebody that isn't related to him. Yes, an overly aggressive CBS News producer jumped the gun with a report. You know what this is about? This is about the little guy at work taking all the heat. Once again, the little guy at work is the guy that gets crapped on, while the big shots, they all go running off to Dan Rather's boat. They're all going to go off and go swordfish fishing or some crap. Hey, when's that guy getting fired anyway? I thought it was going to be... I thought this was a fait accompli. I thought that tired old man was finally going to be let out west on a gurney. I thought they were going to strap him down, put the IV on him, and just like Edward G. Robinson in Soylent Green, just kind of drift him right on into that nice little that meadow. You know, those pictures of ducks quacking and mice recreating or repopulating? Remember that in Soylent Green? That's how they sent you out. They send you off to some mill, which basically grinds your body up into food. And as you're being led into the meat grinder, they're showing you pictures of birds and Playboy playmates cavorting in a pool. And there was Edward G. Robinson with this look of bliss on his face.
Ah, this is the way to go, see? I like this, see?
The little pup tent. I'm kidding around.
You're going to get fined by the FTC.
Yeah.
Do the Dan Rather voice. I like that one.
Hello, I'm Dan Rather. Hello, I'm Dan Rather. Tonight, CBS has uncovered a mysterious document called the Declaration of Independence. Who wrote it? Where is it from? Tonight on 48 Hours, we find out. Listen, you dummy. Thomas Jefferson wrote that. I've just been informed that Thomas Jefferson wrote that. We're firing a low-level producer because I wasn't given that information. I'm Dan Rather reporting. Anyway, so they apologize for breaking into your precious little CSI New York. I don't watch any of those shows because I work at night. Thank you so very deeply. But it must be a hell of a show, man. But anyway, I would apologize, too. Who needs to know whether that old creep died anyway? It ain't like the president croaking. It's Yasser Arafat. Whose death do you think it's worthy of busting into a TV show like that for, huh? If the president, God forbid, was in trouble, I want to hear about it. If, you know, like Mrs. Bush or the family, something like that. If John Kerry, I would want to hear about it. Somebody American. Even if it was my milkman. But Arafat, that's way down the list, man. He comes about 943 after my milkman. Everybody knew the old creep was going to kick anyway. I mean, it was just a matter of seconds when they got to bust in with the big news. Arafat is dead. Okay, great. He was dead like 2 weeks ago, man. He was dead 2 weeks ago when he couldn't have a bowel movement. And when they found that baggie of smack in his gut, now they know why.
What about Roy Horn? Would you want them to break in on that?
Who?
Roy Horn.
No, they don't need to break in for Roy Horn. God bless him. He's a nice man, and he's a hell of a performer. But it's not earth-shaking.
What about Charo?
Oh, shut up. I'm talking about what's worth busting in for and what ain't, and Arafat ain't it. Now what are they going to do with him? They're going to fly him to where? They're going to bury him in Jordan or something? They got a nice vacant lot picked out for him. They're going to stick him in the ground over there. And finally, maybe somebody over in Palestine can figure out what the hell's going on. Now, they've got some live shot in Dallas of some guy getting busted. There was a high-speed chase, but just not too long ago, they showed some videotape of a woman being abducted in a mall. Has this got anything to do with that? There was a woman, they saw the surveillance tape of a woman walking through a mall parking lot and being chased by some guys in a car. Finally, one of the guys gets out of the car, and you can see this all in the surveillance camera, and runs this woman down, grabs her. Oh, it was in Corona. All right, it was in Corona, California. Grabs her, and then they take off with her. And it looked to me like it was somebody that knew her, because as soon as she saw the car, she started running. And I don't know whether or not this was the situation or not. Anyway, getting back to this guy, Arafat. Well, that's all I have to say. Jesus. 1-800-449-8686. Coming, it's going to be Doug Danger, and he's going to be talking with us about going to Iraq and reporting on the war in Iraq, because he thinks the embedded journalists over there are just blowing it big time. We also have Jack Van Staples in just a second here on the line with us, the oldest veteran in existence, and an interesting story it is to hear. We'll be talking with Jack in a moment. Chef Carl Chedilia with a Thanksgiving turkey recipe stuffing kind of a thing. And we have coming up tomorrow Clara Bingham. Don't forget to order your Phil Henry Best of the Year 2004 CD. You can pre-order it on our website, www.philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. Pre-order your Best Of CD, and it'll be there in time for Christmas. You can also get other stuff, other souvenirs on our website as well. The money that we raise from the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. From the Greyhound bus terminal, we have Jack Van Staple. Hello, Jack. How are you? Jack, you there?
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm right here, Phil. I'm sorry. I was just buying a ticket. We're getting to Fresno for my niece's wedding.
This is Jack, right? This isn't his grandson or anything.
No, this is Jack Van Staple.
Jack, according to the bio information I got here, you were a... Says here you're a veteran of the Civil War.
That is correct, yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 160. Hello?
Yeah. All right, I get it.
No, I was. I was in the Civil War. I was at the Battle of Peachtree Creek. I was also at Kennesaw Mountain.
You were at the Battle of Peachtree Creek. That's a battle not a lot of people know about.
I was there. I was in Atlanta. And I was with the Union forces at Kennesaw Mountain. I was with the 1st Wisconsin.
And you're 160?
Yes, sir.
Well, how do you sound so good?
Well, that's... thank you, Phil, for that compliment. I just watch my diet. I drink a lot. I don't drink or smoke, and I play a lot of tennis.
Okay, bud, I want to see you after the show.
What? He said he what?
John, I want to see you after the show.
But he said that...
What, that guy's a veteran of the Civil War? Then I'm a veteran of the Civil War.
Yeah, well, you look like it.
Cool.
He said he was.
I don't give a crap if he said he was. He could have said he was Napoleon Bonaparte. You want to go to some nut house? I'll show you a million guys that say they're the devil and Jesus, too. Want to get one of them on the air?
Are they?
What do you mean, are they? The guy's 160 and he plays tennis.
He said that's how he keeps his figure.
Look at you, moron. You can't be 160. The guy says he doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, and plays tennis, and that's how he keeps his youthful vim and vigor. There's no way even a cat who eats yogurt every day, drinks rainwater, and fresh-cut broccoli could live past 120.
Well, you don't know. He said he maxes out at 220 pounds.
On what?
In the weight room.
Oh, my butt. Next time you book one of these guests, you check with me. I got a Civil War veteran here, and he stays fit playing tennis.
You know, you're relaxed. You're going to have high pressure.
What, do I look like a weather map? You mean high blood pressure?
Yeah.
High pressure. 1-800-449-8686. Yeah, that's right, bud. It's a little wet and windy in my mouth, too. Phil Henry Show. Coming
Phil Henry
up.
Show.
Well, never mind. Never mind what's coming up.
8686.
Coming up, we have Doug Danger.
Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger joins me. Doug is a entertainment reporter for the Orange County Courier, but is, in point of fact, looking to get over to Iraq to do some war corresponding, and we're talking to him about the job of the embedded press so far, and you don't have a very high opinion of it, do you?
No, I don't. First of all, thank you for having me on your program, Phil, but I do not think very highly of the job that's being done. I think it's facile at best. I think it is shallow. And I think that, you know, I think I'm going to do a little bit better job of getting the facts in the so-called embedded press. So to that end, I called the Defense Department Information Office. I talked with a guy, I know they're Josh Rosenthal, and I told him that they need to quit fooling around with these guys that are a little gun-shy. And
give me an example of what you think has been the failure of the press over there.
Well, the failure of the, so far in this assault on Fallujah by the press is I don't see any reporting on the factual combat details. When I get over there, I want to look right at the shooting, and I want to see it, and I want to report it. I want to see the bullets tear right into the flesh of these insurgents. I can do that. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I came out of the closet last summer, and I've walked a road since then that has been fraught with the same setbacks that most gay people suffer. You know, I've been criticized, I've been taunted, I've been made fun of, I've been threats of physical violence. This is the kind of thing that toughens an individual up, and that's why, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I think we're not getting it, and we're not getting the facts. That's because the reporters they have over there, I think, are too mindful of their own rear ends and not mindful enough of getting the story. I told Bill Powell, who's my editor here at the Courier, that I want to take a month to leave the entertainment assignment and get over there and try and bring back to the American people the real story of the battle for Fallujah. And I can do that as a gay man and as a gay journalist.
Yeah, but why are you better at that than the people that they have over there? Okay.
Look, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. If you grow up gay in America, you're used to taking an enormous amount of flack and criticism. You have to go through life taking 10 times more grief than the average person. As a result, when I came out last summer, I knew I was going to be in for a lot of criticism. And the idea that these guys they got over there right now are thinking a little bit too much about their wives at home and thinking a little bit too much about their kids at home, and I understand that. But I'm not getting the reporting from them that I want. The American people are not getting the reporting from them that they want. We want some people to get their faces right up in the shooting. We want some people who are going to go over there as reporters and are going to get their faces this close to actually seeing an insurgent cut in half with a 22-millimeter shell. And I'm not hearing that. I'm not seeing that. I'm not getting that. I comb the internet. I go over all of the broadcast news reports every day. I watch all of the channels, whether or not they are small pieces or whether they're extended pieces. And I'm just not getting the kind of reporting that I want. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless I get that kind of reporting, I told Bill Powell, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. And one of the things that you need to understand is I've come to a point in my life where I can say to my editor, I'm ready for a challenge that needs to be met, and war reporting is one that a gay man and a gay journalist I can take on.
Well, there's some inherent, is there, you know, because it sounds to me like there's something inherent about being gay that will, for instance, keep you alive longer than the average war correspondent. Because if you're talking about getting your nose this far from the shooting, and if you're talking...
Let me tell you something, Phil. This isn't about staying alive or not staying alive. I'm not worried about keeping alive. I'm worried about getting the story. What's going on the ground? We got these guys over there right now. They're hiding behind buildings. And they're straight, and they mostly probably have families, kids and wives. And they're, you know, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you know, I want to go home to my wife and kids. I'm scared of this. I'm scared. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't have those constraints. So when I hit the ground to report on ongoing hostilities, I want to get my face right up into the shooting. I'll be there for the American people to report on it when the Marines cut to ribbons some terror nest. I want to be there looking right at it. I want to see the bullet going right into them when it actually terminates some terrorists. I'll look right at it when the bullets go into them. I'm gay. And because of my experience as a gay man and a gay journalist in America, I'm not quite as squeamish, I think, probably as a straight reporter.
Well, let's talk about the record of the war correspondents in Iraq this far. As you know, I don't believe it's been very distinguished either.
Well, I, you know, Phil, with all due respect, I know what your opinion is, and that's good to know.
But what I'm saying is I'm agreeing with you, and I've often said this. I don't think they've done a very good job.
Well, but my background as a gay man, as a gay journalist, is journalism, so I think for the purpose of our discussion, we should stick with what it is that I'm saying.
But I'm agreeing with you.
And I appreciate that, but you don't have journalistic experience, and you don't have the socioeconomic... I'm gay, and being gay, it gives you the insight into being a war correspondent.
Well, you've never been one before.
Sorry, Phil?
You have never been a war correspondent before.
Hey, you know what, Phil? And Chuck Yeager never flew a jet before he got into one and flew it. And when he did, he knew this was his life's calling. There's an old saying, necessity is the mother of invention. We need war correspondents who have the guts to get in there and look right at it when a man gets shot right through the face. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have that qualification.
All right, we're talking with Doug Danger on the absolute failure of war correspondents so far in this war to really get the action firsthand and report it back to the American people. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. You've been very, very vocal here criticizing the war press, and you have intimated it's because they're straight that they're not doing their job.
I don't know if it's because they're straight or not. All I know is that I would do a better job as a gay man and as a gay journalist. You learn to live with certain risks, and I came out of the closet in September. I remember from that point forward, The road that I trod was a hard one, and it was one that was fraught, as I said, Phil, in my earlier conversation with criticisms and critiques about, well, you're gay, what do you know? And you people are this and that and all this other kind of nonsense, which, goes in one ear and out the other with me. I don't care, but by the same token, you can't help but be affected by a little bit. But I went to Bill Powell, and I said to him, look, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist, I want to go to Iraq. He said to me, I've already got two guys assigned to a pool reporting in Kuwait. I said, you got a couple of guys who are down there in Kuwait, who got a wife, and I happen to know one of them, a good friend of mine, Jim Duncan, who happens to be a good guy, but he's got a wife and a baby daughter back in the States. He doesn't want to get his kids to ride up into the fighting. I said, what's the closest he's been to the shooting? He said, well, he's getting a pool report. I said, forget it. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have, for want of a better term, I have a gay eye. I can get close to the insurgents. I can report the truth. I can get my face so far up into that fighting. I'll get out ahead of the guns if I have to. In other words, if the Marines are firing at a nest of insurgents or at a position, a command post of some kind, and they are set up, say, 100 yards from their object of fire, I will work my way ahead of the Marine Corps fire and look at it from both sides. You don't have reporters that'll do that. I'm gay. I can work my way ahead of where the Marines are shooting at, who they're shooting at. I can be between, literally, the insurgents.
Well, then you're really putting yourself at risk.
I just got done telling you, I don't care. We got too many reporters in this country who are looking out for their own rear ends because they got a wife and a baby at home, or because they got a mortgage, or I'm gay. And I can tell you right now that the reporting the American people are getting from the battle for Fallujah and for the reporting from Iraq, they don't have any reporters over there that are pushing their noses about 2 inches away from an actual bullet tearing right through the face of an Arab. That's what you're going to get from Doug Danger. And I told Bill Powell that, and he's taking it under advisement. He's going to be talking to our editorial board. But I think I'm close to it.
I was going to ask you, do you feel you're going to get the assignment?
I think I'm very close to it, yeah. I said, you give me 30 days, I'll give you some reporting that's going to knock your... I'll give you some reporting that when you read it, you're going to want to quit and turn over the editor job to me. And he said, hey, you're a better man than me. Go for it. So we'll find out what happens.
Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on reporting from Iraq. And quite frankly, he says the job they're doing over there, probably because there's a lot of straight reporters over there, they're just not getting their faces, as he says, up into the fighting. He is, as you heard him say, a gay man and a gay journalist. And he feels that as a gay man and a gay journalist, he's just the kind of reporter they need to cover the fighting. He's going to get right up close. He's not afraid for his own safety because he doesn't have a wife and kid and a mortgage back home. And he says that he can work his way actually between the Marines firing and the insurgents firing to get both points of view from somewhere dead in the middle of the field of fire. So he's looking to go to Iraq and report for the first time, in his opinion, the actual vivid detail of the battle on the ground. He mentioned he wants to get up so close he can see a bullet tearing right into the face of an insurgent. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Is this the way that we cure the problem of timid reporting in Iraq, or do we need to? You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with Doug Danger in a moment.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Very well, you will kiss the gunner's daughter. Take him below for the makings.
One 800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Doug Danger joins me from the Orange County Courier. Doug is a reporter who is normally assigned to the entertainment desk, and is now hoping to be assigned to the as a war correspondent from the Courier. And it comes from your feeling that they have not done the job over there.
And if I could jump in, Phil, and I know that you don't really know. I don't want to be referred to as an entertainment writer because I'm much, much more than that. When I look at the job that these guys are doing over in Iraq right now, a lot of these guys that are straight, they're just not getting the story because they're a little gun shy. And I can tell you, Phil...
I'm going to jump in here, and then we're going to take a phone call. You said you're going to get between the line of fire of Marines and insurgents. You're going to get right up close to an insurgent as he gets hit by a Marine bullet. You know, this is an extremely dangerous area, and these are extremely desperate people, these insurgents.
Well, I understand that, and I would know the average person's fear. I'm gay. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have had to go down some pretty tough roads. And I'm not sure I'm clear on what it is you're trying to say.
I mean, the insurgents themselves, these Islamic fundamentalists, have been taking hostages and have been cutting their heads off.
I understand that.
And that doesn't fear you, or it doesn't make you afraid. You don't fear that.
Look, Phil, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I'll tell you something right now. I want to meet the Islamic insurgent that wants to look me in the eye, go nose to nose with me and look me in the eye and say, I'm going to cut your head off. I'd love to meet that guy. Because I'll tell you something right now. The problem with the war reporting that we've had so far, we got a lot of little Red Riding Hoods over there, a lot of little Mary Janes over there, hiding behind the Marines and hiding behind a garbage can, all this kind of nonsense. I'm going to get up there. I want to see a round from a Marine rifle tear right through the heart of an insurgent. I want to report on it.
Why? Because you're going to get some kick out of it?
No, because I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I report on what happens. And you're telling me about an insurgent that wants to cut my head off. Man, I'd love to meet the guy. I don't care if he wears a towel on his head. I don't care what he is. I'd love to meet the guy that's going to walk up to me, look me dead in the eye, and say, I'm going to cut your head off. Because it's not going to happen. I'm gay. And I have been through too much.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll take a couple of calls here for Doug Danger of the Orange County Courier. Berna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger.
Hi. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this your caller said that he's only been out of the closet a year.
Ma'am. I've been out since last summer.
Well, I don't know how you've had enough time to have experienced the gay lifestyle if you've only been out of the closet a year.
Look, I'm gay.
Number one.
Are you gay?
No, I'm not gay,
right,
but
well,
I don't see how you could
talk with any authority on it. So.
Well, I'll tell you how I can. I work in the fashion industry.
Well, you're not gay, so you can't.
I work in the fashion industry. I work with a lot of gay people. They're as wonderful and as varied.
Are you saying there's gay people in the fashion industry?
They are as varied as any other people that you'll meet.
You're racially profiling.
I'm not profiling anything.
You are. You're saying,
but I think
fags work in the dress design business.
First of all, I don't call people names.
Yeah, you use the word
I don't
fag.
See why,
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I think that all you want to do is be on the radio and making that point. And I also think that you're being extremely disrespectful to people who have been over there working in their job and been killed, the families of those people who have been killed overseas.
I'm not talking about soldiers.
I'm talking about journalists. I'm talking about journalists. Journalists who've given their life out there. You haven't spent one day on the front line.
I haven't heard
you haven't
about
spent
any
one day over there.
How,
you haven't heard about
life?
Any of them given their lives?
Well, give me a name.
Daniel Pearl.
Daniel Pearl was in Pakistan talking to Al-Qaeda. I'm talking about
he was in a military conflict. He was out in a military situation, in a terrorist situation.
But he was gay.
And let me ask you something.
Wasn't he a cameraman?
Are you a cameraman?
I'm not a cameraman. No, ma'am. I'm an old-school, hard-nosed reporter. I'm going to be firing dispatches back.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
Firing dispatches back from the front.
Where have you been doing your hard-nosed reporting?
I'm a 15-year journalist. See, you're telling me about my business, and then you're also telling me about my sexual orientation. I don't know what your qualifications are, other than the fact that you've been around a lot of queens prissing around in a chamomile robe or something.
How can you be so disgusting? I don't use that type of terminology.
No, but you're saying you know all about my sexual orientation.
No,
and
I'm
my
not
job
saying I know anything.
Because you
I'm not saying
to sew,
I know anything about it.
Because
but
you're a seamstress for a fashion show.
Well, look at Doug. Don't condescend to the caller.
Excuse me. I'm saying that you've only been living in an acknowledged gay lifestyle for a year. I don't think that gives you
the history to
talk about what you can accomplish. I don't think that gives you the...
No, you're not gay at all. I don't think that gives you... Other than the fact that you sew buttons on shirts for some gay designer, doesn't mean that... You know, is James Bond gay? No. James Bond isn't gay. I could be...
I think that you'd better take a few steps
James
in the
Bond
footsteps of people who've been in war sites and actually been there before you make statements like you're making.
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As such, I could be stealthy.
I think that any part of the media that would send you over with an attitude like you have is disgraceful.
Ma'am, I don't see what's wrong with my head. I'm proposing to give you what you're not getting, which is hard-nosed reporting from the front in Iraq. I'm going to get right up into an insurgent's nest and watch as the bullets sear through their faces, through the back of their heads, and into another guy's face.
I think you should want to be on the radio making statements like that.
Doug, you're being a little graphic.
Here we go. Look, the American people want this kind of... They want to know the damage the Marines are doing. They want to know the successes of our soldiers, and we're not getting that news. We're getting a lot of little Red Riding Hoods and little Mary Jane over there. These guys want to get back home to their old lady and go out to the, five and dime and just have a regular life. I'm going to go over there, and I'm going to watch as Marines pump shot after shot. Well, because I'm looking at the reporting.
How can you be so disrespectful?
I'm a journalist. I'm gay, number one. And I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
You know what?
Number
I don't
two.
Care whether you are gay or you're straight or you're upside down and backward. You don't have the experience to talk about the situation until you've been there. And
if I was straight, you'd be right.
Over there working every day and giving their lives and putting their lives on the line every day, the kinds of names you're calling them, is so disrespectful and so
idealistic. These guys are reporters.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
They're not soldiers. They're reporters. They don't deserve any respect.
Well, wait a minute. The lady just brought up the fact that...
Respect.
No, there are a bunch of Mary Janes over there.
Everybody.
And they're eating from the same mess tent.
How can you use names like that?
All right, listen, Berna, thank you very much for your call. Are you saying that even Daniel Pearl, guys like that?
I said Daniel Pearl was a guy that got himself into a very difficult situation and kind of lost his head.
I don't appreciate the humor.
All right. But the point is, I'm a gay man and I'm a gay journalist. And
I thought that was very low.
About Pearl?
Yeah.
All right, can we move past it?
So?
I'm saying I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm not going to chicken out, okay? You want me to say it? I'll say it. I'm not going to chicken out like all these guys on Fox, all these guys on NBC, chickening out and running for cover. And yet, after they run for cover, they go down to the same mess tent the Marines eat out of, and they slop down three times their own servings of food, drink five times the coffee.
Let's go over to Janet. Hi, Janet. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey there.
Hi.
I would just like to say, I understand that he's saying that he wants to go over there and get, closer to enemy lines and closer to, the insurgents and all, and
yes,
that's
ma'am.
All fine. But I don't have any idea why he said it over 30 times since he's been on the phone with you that he's a gay man and a gay journalist, and we've all got that point.
Look, I'm gay. You know I'm gay.
Yeah, yeah.
All
the
right.
whole country knows
the
you're gay.
The reason why I'm great.
All right, look, let me ask both of you to hold on. Janet, you'll be first out. We got to take a break. We're with Doug Danger. Our caller Janet is hanging on. We're talking about Doug proposing to go to Iraq and do the real job of reporting on this war that he says the other correspondents, possibly because they're straight, aren't doing. He's a gay man. He's a gay journalist. He's going to get his nose this close to a bullet tearing into an Arab. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
On with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier on why his being a gay man and a gay journalist would make him a far superior wartime correspondent than the guys that we have over there right now. Janet was hanging on. Janet, go ahead. Doug, you there?
Yeah, right here.
Okay, I would just like to say that I don't understand how being out of the closet for, I'm not sure if it's 6 months or a year and 6 months, has made you tough enough and you've experienced things that supposedly has made you so tough that what you've experienced is worse than being in a war zone.
First of all, as a gay man and as a gay journalist, you have to put up with people taunting you, gay bashing, following you to your car, making fun of you, all that stuff. You go through that in America, there isn't a terrorist in the Middle East that's going to scare me. And I'd love to meet the Al-Qaeda that's going to come up to me, look me in the eye and say, I'm going to chop your head off. See, I'm not going to go over there. I don't think I'm indestructible. I don't think I'm Superman. But I got more guts than the average straight journalist who's worried about his wife and his newborn baby. Are they going to get the pool put in time and stuff like that?
you realize there are straight, good journalists that don't have wives, kids, pools, and mortgages.
Yeah, but they're always thinking about women, and they want this and that. Okay, I'm going to get over there.
So you're not going to be thinking about men?
I'm going to be thinking about my job, ma'am, and I'm going to be over there, and I'm going to get my face this close to the action. I'm going to watch the bullet go into an Arab, and that in a second later, I'm going to pull my notepad out and I'm going to write about it. I just saw a bullet go through an Arab's head. And then I send that back to my newspaper. It's in the paper the next day. Are you getting that right now? No, you're not. What you're getting is a lot of these, like I said, these Mary Jane, Little Red Riding Hood, all these tomato cans over there, like to talk a good game, like that guy on Fox, that Greg What's-His-Face, looks like a wearing that dopey-looking helmet. The whole thing's a big cluster, you know what.
Okay, I have a question to you, Doug.
I'm gay. And being a gay man and a gay journalist, I've got gay eye.
What do you mean you've got gay eye, man? This is something you've said to me on before on my show.
I have an ability to perceive and see things that straight people can't.
All right, Janet, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Doug Danger, the Orange County Courier, on being a reporter in a war zone. You realize that in some of these comments, and hearing your comments, that straight journalists just can't get the job done.
I'm not saying there haven't been some great wartime straight wartime journalists. I'm saying the group they got over there right now are these yuppies, touchy-feely yuppies, straight out of journalism school, University of Miami, married to college sweetheart. Now they're over there, and they want to get into the mess tent, get themselves a cup of joe, lay down, and hope to God they get pulled out of there, you know, soon. Somebody rotate them out of there. I'm going to be over there. I'm going to work my way up in front of enemy fire. I'm going to be as close as I can to an insurgent's machine gun nest, and when the Marines open up, I want to see exactly how that bullet goes through the head.
I understand all of that, and you're going to pull your notepad out and write about it. It's surviving that I'm talking about. Here's Mark on the Phil Henry Show. Mark?
Yes, I wanted to relate to Doug. Doug, I don't understand why you're using your sexuality as a certain merit for you to be able to perform something. That open up something very interesting in this society. If you would do that, we may be looking at the government then, or municipalities taking gay people and placing them in some of the most dangerous positions in America.
Well, if they can do the job better, then why not? I mean, I'm saying that.
Well,
I don't know about other gays.
Individuals' jobs are not based upon their sexuality. It's not based upon their ethnicity. It's not based upon anything like that. It's based upon an individual's merit.
And in war reporting, it is. You've got too many straights over there, and they're chickening out. We got to get gays over there, and we got to get them over there in the field of war correspondent. And I'll tell you something else. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, I keep my eye open. I can see the story even behind the lines. What's going on? Are our guys getting their supplies? You know, what's happening? I can do it all because I'm gay.
I'm a little disturbed at the speaker of the radio show here that would allow your comments to continue. Reporting is in any way reflective of what you've been relating to us on the radio this evening, it's very disappointing. I don't think I would want to read it. Off-color remarks and very lowbrow humor that you've made.
Well, let me ask the caller. Let me ask the caller. What has he said specifically that is off-color?
Oh, the remark that he made about Perlman losing his head and that sort of thing.
That I agree with.
I made a lousy joke. See, this is what I mean about you straight people. I'm gay. I can make a joke about a guy's head getting hacked off because, you know what, I've been there.
And you haven't been there.
You've seen a man's head hacked off?
Of course. Didn't you see that Nick Berg tape?
Well, everybody saw that. Are you talking about up front?
Look, I want to let Mark know something. I understand, sir. I didn't want to offend you. But I'm going to give you the kind of reporting you're entitled to. I'm going to give it to you straight and hard from a gay man and a gay journalist.
I want hardcore reporting.
You want a good and hard
story on there. But I still don't see how you pulling your gay card that's going to provide me to endorse you for any more merit in the job.
I can tell you that I pulled a gay card on some of these insurgents. See, a lot of people make the joke you're lighting your loafers. That they used to call gay people. Well, because of that, we can dodge mortars. I can get around enemy fire.
What are you saying? Are you saying you can dance around bullets?
Well, this man wants to laugh about it, but I can tell you that. You let me go over to Iraq, I'll give you the kind of reporting you're entitled to. You're going to hear graphically just how these Arabs, running for their lives, get gunned down in the back as they run down an alley.
It
Good
sounds
God.
Like you have the solution to all the problems in our country. Any dangerous job, we need to put
into
it.
No, sir, I wouldn't say that. I just know that when it comes to a dangerous job like this, look, I'm gay. And
I got that already. Mark, thank you very much for your call.
Don't ever say that to me, Phil. I'm trying to...
I understand that, but 58 times you're gay. 58 times now.
What? Are you homophobic?
No, I'm not homophobic.
Then what's the problem?
Let me talk to Lisa. Lisa, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Oh, no, I asked you a question. Are you homophobic?
No, I am not homophobic.
I didn't say homophobic.
If I'm on.
Yes, Lisa, you're on.
I don't know who you are.
I'm asking the host a question. Are you a homophobe?
No, I'm not, and you want to know that by now. You've known me 10 years.
Well, the way
you're talking... I just want to say to you...
Who is this?
It's the caller.
You're an embarrassment to gay people. I am a lesbian woman of 25 years. You're going over there,
well,
you want to report...
this is a little bit different. This is a little bit different, honey.
Oh, I get it. I see. You want to go over and report graphic violence. Tell me how this is
reporting. Well, what do you
reporting.
Think
Are you going to talk to
the insurgents? What do you insurgent? Think war is? Do you think war is non-graphic violence? Do you think it's
we
like that TV violence or something? I'm
going to
tell people exactly what it looks like when one of those insurgents
we
gets
know
his
what
brain
it looks
put
like.
Out all
are
over the
wall. Are you going to talk to the insurgents? What are you going to do that's different besides telling
what
everyone
am I gonna do?
It's you're
gonna,
gay and you're
I'm
strong not, and you get a look at violence?
I'm
what
not
are you going to do
stand,
that's different? I'm not getting it.
I'm not going to hide behind the Marines. I'm going to get right up into the face of those insurgents. I'm going to get my nose right into that violence. I'm going to watch those machine gun bullets as they dance off the concrete walls. I'm going to watch those insurgents scatter as bullets go firing into their asses and their heads and everything else. And I'll report
and what
on
is,
it.
And what will your... So you'll be reporting this, and what point will you make from it?
That our
you
Marines,
have a point?
Our Marines
besides
are doing the
I'm
job?
I'm brave and I'm angry because I've been out for 6 months and I'm facing some criticism. Is there
you know,
a proper point
hey,
that you have?
Just because you know how to repair a jet ski, don't start getting up into my grill, okay? I don't, you know... I'm not
Make
one
some,
of look at
tell
I,
me
I'm
what
not
your
little
plan
Mary
is.
Jane here. Right? My plan is to go over there and report the American people the good
report
job.
Report graphic violence. Tell
yeah,
me
the Marine.
Are you
gonna, are
hey, you
look at look, look,
look,
look, lady, look, Lilith Fair tickets go on sale tomorrow, okay? I can't help you.
All right, well, what does that mean?
She wants to ask me all kinds of stupid questions.
No, I'm being reasonable. I'm asking
look,
you.
I'm gay.
If you're going to make. I hear that, buddy. That's and no one cares. And thank God the rest of America knows that most gay people aren't like. Acting with this kind
what?
Of mentality
what are you
that
you're... I'm, what, that I'm proud of my sexual orientation? Are you?
No. Oh, please.
So you're not?
Of course.
What, are you still
my
trying to work it out?
My sexual orientation has very little to do with my job performance as a reporter. That's the part I'm not getting, and
are you
that's what I would like you to explain.
Are you a reporter?
No, I'm not a reporter.
All right. Well, I've already explained it.
I don't get from what you said the point that you're going
to,
how you're going to do anything different than anyone else has ever done. That's what I'm not getting.
What city are you in right now?
I'm in Denver, Colorado.
All right, I'm going to be in Denver doing a speaking engagement, and I'll be talking about being a gay man and a gay journalist and the gay eye.
I have a very wonderful friend
and the
who's gay a
gay eye.
Journalist, actually,
yes.
But, you know, and
that's
so
nice.
Don't get
you know,
the point you're saying I'm gay and I'm going and I'm tougher, and I'm going
to report
something
tell me
different
that,
than anyone else.
You're trying to tell me that gays can't move more quietly than straights. You're trying to tell me that.
What? What do you mean gays
move
can
more,
move?
What? I'm not getting that. I mean, make
yeah,
a
you
little
ain't got
connection
the thing I've
me,
You ain't
right.
got the thing. This war is, I'm going to cover, Madge, not how short I can get my crew cut at the weekend sleepover. Now,
you know, you've made a few comments now about this lady.
You can move more quietly? Is that what, and so you're going to be
right.
able to get closer.
Thank you very much for your call.
No, I want to keep talking
right,
to her because I'm gay.
No, I'm done with both of you guys, as a matter of fact. Hi, I'm gay, and so I can move more quietly in dangerous areas. Doug Danger on how he's going to be a war correspondent. And he'd love to meet the insurgent that wants to look him in the eye and say he's going to cut his head off. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Hi, this is Doug Danger, and I'm with the Orange County Courier, and I'd also like to remind you, you can get the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD by going to his website, www.philhenryshow.com, and pick up
Fahrenheit 7-Eleven, the best Phil Henry Show CD. And all the money goes to my friend's place, the Resource Center for Homeless and Runaway Kids in Hollywood. I'm Doug Danger, a gay man and a gay journalist. Well, you don't like gays? You can look me in the eye and say that. By the way, you can email me at DougDanger@PhilHenryShow.com. DougDanger. You'll probably forget, though.
Thanks, Doug. 1-800-449-8686. Yesterday, Bobby Dooley was on our show, and Bobby was... Are we talking about Bobby today? Yeah. And Bobby was talking about... Oh, the Pope's hat. What a funny-looking hat it is. Why would anybody want to be a member of a religion where the Pope wears rolled-up cardboard on his head?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Look, we're all entitled to our... We are all entitled. Could you stop that again? You are so juvenile.
Well, you are really Hitler, aren't you?
I can understand why the kids want to come over, because you know all the hot fans. That is going to make you a good mother. You know,
do you know who Creed is?
I want you to know something. The Pope is not the man that's in charge of Catholics. The Pope is the living symbol of Christ. And that's what Catholics believe.
Well, how dare he wear a stupid hat?
A bigot.
A bigot.
For you to say, some of my best friends are Catholic, right then and there, you have just, you have just...
Well, look, let me ask you this.
You are, did Jesus not even worth talking anymore.
You know, Joe, when I saw Jesus on the cross, I didn't see him wearing a rolled up hat. Well, you, that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You won't give me a chance.
You know what?
I'm soaking.
I listened to
you. Do you know who Korn is?
On the radio for a very long time.
Do you know who Korn is? No, you don't.
It's a cruel thing to get up and roll a piece of cardboard on his head. That's as much as you know. You are.
Well, then why does he do that? All right.
You are somebody that's afraid of getting old. That's why you want young children around you.
Well, who isn't?
And I just hope that that young lady's CCD training will ripen her up to somebody like you.
I didn't see Jesus hanging off of a cross wearing a rolled up cardboard on his head.
He has a lot of problems,
and I think it mocks Jesus.
You're all right, look, ladies, I got to intercede. I got to jump in here for a minute because I can't really hear what anybody's saying.
Phil, I just wanted to say, if she says that
you
Jesus
know, the water is
the one,
splashing in my ear.
You know,
that the splashing is very distracting, Ms. Dooley.
I apologize for that. But I think to say that the Pope is Jesus, I didn't see Jesus rolling up cardboard and sticking it on his head before they nailed him up. Did you? No.
That is the most ludicrous thing that...
Oh, my God, you're the one...
You are not even an intelligent woman.
How dare you say that that man...
How dare you say...
You said that he represents Jesus.
...millions of Catholics by saying that the person that we look to as the living Christ is someone that's a pimple, a pustule... I think...
No, I said the hat was. Oh, my God, she doesn't even listen. She doesn't listen. I said the hat was, not him. Take it easy, Joe.
No, you said that the gentleman... I'm sorry.
I think getting older, I think it's affected your memory, because I didn't...
All right, look it.
No.
Jesus didn't shake like a bowl of Jell-O like the Pope does every time he's on TV.
Now, you're going to tell me that that's not Catholic bashing?
It certainly
is not.
That this
woman is not a bigot? That this woman is not a vicious, vile individual?
Oh, my God. You'd think you were black the way you're going on.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
What? Hoo-hoo! Woo! Bobby Dooley on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up next hour, we'll be talking to Jack Van... Oh, we already talked to Jack Van Staples' oldest veteran. European papers are expressing alarm at a spiral of religious violence in the Netherlands, a normally placid country at the heart of Europe's self-image of tolerance. The wave of attacks and counterattacks... Did you hear about this? It began with the gruesome slaying of filmmaker Theo van Gogh as he rode his bicycle through Amsterdam on November the 2nd. Van Gogh was shot, stabbed, and his throat slit. Now, if the name is familiar, he is the great-nephew of Vincent van Gogh. He's a filmmaker in the Netherlands, and he had made a controversial 11-minute film in English in which a veiled Muslim woman, her body inscribed with Quranic verses beneath a semi-transparent full-body veil, addresses Allah with a mixture of anger, devotion, and defiance while telling painful stories of domestic abuse condoned within Muslim culture. He made this film, and a Islamic fundamentalist murdered him in the streets of the Netherlands and taped a note to this guy or pinned a note to him to the effect, this is what happens to anybody else that criticizes Islam. I'll tell you what happens. This is what happens to the society of Europe, the culture of Europe, which has decided that they must be very tolerant. Look, you know, I don't blame the Europeans, man. Coming off of the wave of hysterical anti-Semitism that drove them into World War II, they probably are so reticent to get into anything that is even remotely, could be remotely described as anti-religious or anti-religious bigotry. But, you know, there comes a time when you any adult can separate what is hysterical anti-religious bigotry and what is a sensible, security-conscious view toward extremists. A wave of retributive attacks against mosques exploded across the Netherlands. A bomb exploded at a Muslim school in Eindhoven in apparent retaliation. Arsonists torched another Muslim school in Uden, an image that dominated the front page of the Dutch daily newspapers. And vandals tossed Molotov cocktails at churches in Rotterdam and Amersfoort as there was a Muslim backlash against the violence against Muslims. Meanwhile, on Wednesday, Dutch police conducted a 14-hour siege in a house in a residential neighborhood of The Hague where alleged terror suspects were holed up. We're not the only ones, man. Now, we can be doing this. We could be doing this right now here in America. We could be like looking for some Muslim that shot some cat off of a bicycle. You notice how we're not? I don't see us there. I don't see any Muslims shooting guys off of bicycles around here. Now, why do you suppose that is?
I don't know why.
It's a rhetorical question, Jack Ball. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. One 800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now it's time for the Johnny Rotten I Hate Everything Show. Join Johnny as he talks about the issues of the day. The Johnny Rotten I Hate Everything Show, live from London. Here's Johnny Rotten.
Hi, this is Johnny Rotten. It's time to talk about how I can't stand anything. I hate it all. I hate it all. I hate it. I hate it all. So call me up here on the show tonight, we'll talk about it. All these politicians trying to tell you what to do, you can't do this and you can't do that. Everybody's trying to come down and blow your vibe. It's not right. So I say sod all of them. That's what I say. Call me up and tell me what's bothering you. Hello, you're on a Johnny Rotten I Hate. It's all boring, you know, it's just all so boring. That's the only thing I don't like about the world today. It would be a bloody right good place to live if it wasn't so boring. All right, hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Johnny. I wanted to know if you agreed with my assessment that the war in Iraq is just a terrible crime committed by President Bush.
Well, why don't you bloody well commit suicide then? Huh? Why don't you...
Well, I just want to...
Why don't you just bloody well commit suicide if it's just so all bloody wrong? Why don't you do the whole bloody world a favor, open up your stove, put your head in the stove, and turn the gas on?
Well, but Johnny...
I'm tired of listening to you. Your voice is grating on my nerves. It's all, you know, you're so bloody boring. Well, I hate the world, isn't it? Well, why don't you just blow your bloody brains out of your bloody skull? Or next call, hello.
Hi, Johnny. I really like your show, and...
Oh, I can't stand all these people pandering to me because I was a rock star at one time. Yes, I threw up on the record executives at ATCO. All right? Are you satisfied? Are you...
I think you're very negative, Johnny. I really do. I think you'd do a much better show if you were positive.
Well, then why don't you commit suicide? Why don't you kill yourself since my bloody show is making you feel so... Put your bloody head behind a mule and let him kick you. Let a mule kick you to death.
Because of all that...
I don't want to commit suicide. I don't...
Well, all you're doing is calling my program, and you're trying to tell me what to do! Hello, you're on the air. Johnny Rotten, I hate everything, so...
Say, look, mate, why don't you give people a break?
Oh, why don't you stuff yourself? You and all the other Brits, the only expatriate Brits living in Santa Monica, and going to the King's Head pub, and playing your darts, and showing for all the world you're Brits. No one cares you're Brit. You live in America. And America is, that's Americans, not all bunch of Brits. And...
Say, listen to this. I like baseball and football.
Well, then why don't you blow your brains out? You like baseball and football, do you? I'd rather have a... I'd rather be tied between two Boeing 747 jets going in the opposite direction and have them take off at full throttle, laden with fuel, then listen to you go on and on and on about your...
By the way, you won the Irish sweepstakes.
Thank you. Can I give you my number when I get off the air, sir?
Yes.
All right. Let's go now to another phone call. Look, I don't want anybody calling my program and telling me how everything's so bloody boring. Because I already know it's bloody boring. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Johnny. You don't remember me. I'm Jeb Bushcock. I'm the guy that produced your first album.
Well, then why don't you climb up on the bloody bank of Bloody America building and pretend you're a bloody bird and stuff your mouth with Rolos until you choke and die and you're off the top of the building? Is it my bloody fault that you...
You produced my album?
Yeah.
I mean, you produced my first album?
Yes, I did. And I was wondering if you're interested in a record deal.
Well, I am all...
Johnny will be right back after he takes this call.
Now you're going to give me what? 25 cents per record? Why don't you stick your bloody finger in your bloody ear until it comes out the other side? Because that's all you're good for, right? You're a bloodthirsty, mutt-raking, bloody bandit, you bloody bandit.
The Johnny Rotten I Hate Everything Show, heard over most of these stations nationally on the CBS radio network. I'm Dan Rather, now doing a job as a booth announcer.
You take your two Kit Kats up your nose and land head first on your face! You bloody bastard!
Wow, that Johnny, I like that show. You think he's going to go up on Sirius with Howard? I hope so. Chef Carl Cedilia coming up later on in the hour with a wonderful Christmas stuffing recipe. And coming up tomorrow, Clara Bingham. Don't forget to pre-order those Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CDs for Christmas. That's right. All the money does go to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And they're great gifts for the holidays in our souvenir shop as well. The whole thing is a beautiful thing. Plus, all the money we raise from the sale of our CDs goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. And when I say all the money, I mean 100% goes to those guys. So it's really kind of a beautiful thing. So the souvenir shop's got all of your stuff there for the holidays, including our CD and the sale of the CD. All the money goes to a great, great charity, a great, great group of people in Hollywood, California, trying to keep the kids from continuing their life on the street. All right? 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. As I said, we got Clara Bingham. Tomorrow night is going to be Clara Bingham, and Chef Carl Cedilia is going to be on our program later on in the hour. Health Minister, Canada's not a U.S. drugstore. They don't want people getting drugs from Canada and bringing them down to the United States. Hey, I got a one for you, man. America ain't your free clinic either. She says, it's difficult for me to conceive of how a small country like Canada could meet the prescription drug needs of approximately 280 million Americans. You know, the Canadians are coming down here getting treatment from doctors because they don't dig the way the health is the thing, No, I mean, they don't like the way they're getting their medical treatment up there. These Canadians, I tell you my family's from Canada. You know this, I've told you many, many times. What happened to them anyway? I mean, honest to God, you'd swear that they're just all a pack of frogs up there. Every last one of them. I don't know how many of them are left. But they all talk like they might as well be just sitting down in a cafe someplace on the Champs-Élysées, sucking on a cigarette and drinking their 15th espresso, taking their 9-hour lunch. You know, they used to be pretty regular folks up there. You know, they kind of hung with us. They kind of got it. You know, they were North Americans. They weren't Europeans. But all of a sudden, the problem with them is they get that same disease everybody else gets around the world. Americans, yeah, they really suck. How come? Well, because they just, like, throw their money around. Oh, really? They're not supposed to spend their money? Well, yeah, because it really helps our tourism, but we just don't want to have to see it. And how come they have to think, how come they're always so happy? Well, because we're happy. Why are you people always smiling and you're laughing and you're dancing and you're partying? And then you go over and you kill innocent Iraqis. Well, no, we're not. We're attacking a lot of terrorists, and Saddam's out of there. He was a scumbag. Yeah, but, you know, why do you have to do it so visibly and so and wave that flag all over the place? It's offensive. That's the way they're up there. You know, that's the way they're talking. No wonder my old man left. He must have had a premonition back in 1945 when he got his ass out of that Canadian army and he said, you know what, I'm coming down to the States because I can't stand this any longer. He must have had some kind of a big-time premonition because he got down here and the first thing he did was become an American citizen, get a big, fat, freaking wooden American eagle and stick it up over in our living room and then flew an American flag every day. And anybody reminded him he came from Canada, you might as well just say goodbye to your front teeth. That's just about the way it was in my house. They just piled on along with everybody else, man. Well, anyway, times are good, man. As I said, when I say times are good, what I mean by that is that our Marines are pushing through Fallujah at this hour. They have, if you haven't heard the news, they have tightened a circle around the city of Fallujah, and the insurgents that are in there, like the gutless wonders, the terrified gutless rats they are, have been trying to break out of the city, and they suddenly realize the Marines got the joints surrounded. And it's not too good for them. They're killing them just by the bagful over there right now. We have lost 18 American soldiers, brave, great men and women. But what the Marines have basically done is they've circled the city, and there's a marsh or a very difficult piece of land to the southeast of the city that some of the terrorists have been trying to make out of the city over that kind of land, and it's impossible, man. It's like walking through quicksand. So as they try to get out of the city, they're just like sitting ducks. They're getting picked off one at a time. And we're basically doing what we should have done all along. See, the reason why we didn't do this in the first place, guess why? Well, we want to be sensitive to everybody's feelings. And we want to make sure that we don't get all the Islamic cats pissed off. And we want to make sure that everything's just all hunky-dory. And what do? We wind up twiddling our thumbs for a year. Then some guy said, I think we ought to let the insurgents surrender the Iraqi soldier. There wasn't anybody to surrender, man. So far, what we've encountered are what? Like 15 guys, and they're running. Half of these guys are getting shot in the back because they don't bother to turn around and fire back at the Marines. So the fact of the matter is this. They got four more years of George Bush. It ain't going to get any easier for them. Whether they like it or not, that country's going to get pacified. Whether they like it or not, the United States, I don't know about the Netherlands or France or Germany or anybody else, man, they're on their own as far as I'm concerned. But the United States, we got our plan in place. You guys, you ragheads, enemy, bad. You die. Me live. You die, me live. That's it. That's our plan. Anybody want to get into the fine details of how it may be anti-religious bigotry? I would suggest that you return to school and just kind of rethink the whole proposition of being alive. Just kind of take a look at the whole situation anew, if you can. It ain't anti-religious, man, when you're blowing up some dude that's using a mosque as an arsenal. Last time I checked, you're not supposed to do that with mosques, are you? Or maybe you can, I don't know. And if you can, well, good. Then as far as, you know, if it says in the Quran it's cool to use a mosque as like an ammunition dump, then I say it must be cool to blow it up. It must be. It must be like totally cool with Allah to blow that thing into tomorrow. But that's just one man. That's just one bigoted right-wing Christian's opinion. And I'm about as right-wing, man, as John Kerry. But when it comes to that war over there,
what, you Hitler?
Pretty much, yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, Chef Carl with his turkey stuffing recipe on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. one
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And now it's time for the Chef Carl Cedilia Show. Yes, Thanksgiving Day recipes made easy with Chef Carl Cedilia.
Hello, everybody. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia, and welcome to our program. Boy, we got a... Every year, I have a wonderful Thanksgiving Day turkey stuffing recipe. And everybody always says, Chef Carl, that's amazing stuffing. That's amazing. What is it? Well, I tell them it's a secret family recipe. But today, I'm going to divulge to you exactly what our secret Thanksgiving stuffing recipe is going to be. Stick around. I'll have it for you in just a minute.
Chef Carl's new instructional book on tape, Cooking with Gas, 15 Years of Chef Carl. Are of Carl's favorite recipes related by Charlton Heston. Order now and receive the bonus tape, Chef Carl's Show Outtakes.
Hi, everybody. This is Chef Carl Cedilia. You want to see me cutting myself with a butcher knife? How about seeing me drunk on the job and snoring through the show? Or how about the great outtake of me trying on a new chef hat and firing an assistant who was staring at me? Yes, it's all on the Chef Carl Cedilia Show Outtakes. If you order now, Cooking with Gas, 15 Years of Chef Carl, all of my favorite recipes recited by Charlotte Heslop.
Chef Carl Cedilia's Cooking with Gas, 15 Years of Chef Carl. Order now and receive the bonus, Chef Carl Show Outtakes. Both would ordinarily sell for $100, but for you, $500.
I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. You don't want to miss out on this game, all game. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Chef Carl Cedilia Show. We're going to do our Thanksgiving stuffing recipe. This is fantastic. Are you sitting down? Have you got a piece of paper and a pencil and a notepad? Okay, well, here it is. Now, you take some breadcrumbs and parsley, and you mix that with a cube of butter. Now, you mix the butter, you mix that all together and add about a half a cup of rich, thick cream. Now, you continue mixing, and then throw in some shredded potato skins for texture, and then more breadcrumbs or more butter, and then another half a cup of sweet cream. Now, 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, and then beat that with a hand mixer. Allow it to sit for a half an hour until room temperature. Then, throw in some shrimp that's been laying around for a day. Let that sit for another half hour, then shove it all into the turkey. Cook the turkey, serve, and then call a lawyer because you're going to need one. Actually, I'm only kidding. Join me next week for the real recipe. I'm Chef Carl Cedilia. We'll see you later.
Chef Carl Cedilia, a presentation of the Children's Television Workshop.
Well, that's Chef Carl. I don't know. I haven't tried any of his recipes, but something tells me I'd be doing 360s on the old white phone. I wouldn't know which end to use. 1-800-449-8686. Hey, Steve Jones is a former band member of the Sex Pistols, and he's doing a show, a radio show locally here in Los Angeles now, on a station that purports to call itself an independent station, but we all know it's owned by Clear Channel. Anyway, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's totally fine. But the guy was on the air the other day using the S word. Now, has anybody slapped him into shape over this? Or does he get to do it because he used to be in the Sex Pistols? See, this is what I'm talking about. What am I'm sitting here with my good looks? I'm trying to make a living over here. I'm trying to do a radio show as a longtime broadcaster. This guy comes in from England or whatever the hell he crawled in from. He sits down. That's fine. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm not trying to, you know, lay it on too thick here. But this guy's on the air with the S word and the F word and all this. Has anybody been slapping him around for that? Or does he get to do that because he's some freaking limey and he doesn't get the rules? Hey, Steve, old buddy, old chum, old Sex Pistol pal. You don't get to say S word. If I don't, you don't. He's on the air like one of them Brits, you know. It's all a load of S. And F that and a mother effer. And, you know, like he's, like it's the good old days there on the BBC telling that guy to pound it or whatever those guys did in those days. Remember that one time? Wasn't the Sex Pistols on TV in England and they told the guy to shove it right straight up as you know what? They did. They said F it. And that's great. I mean, I admire the work that those guys did. If you call that work. But guy's on the air here in town on a Clear Channel station. On a Clear Channel station. Now, if I did that, I'd be fired. No ifs, ands, or buts. I'd be out of here so fast, man, that the exhaust wouldn't even have settled in the parking lot, and my car would be 8 miles down the road. But because this guy is a rock star or something, he gets to go on the air and say everything's a load of S? Oh, Clear Channel sells their spots? Don't they own them? All right, well, whatever. I mean, they're in business with them. See, that's the case. See, but you see, my complaining is falling on deaf ears. Nobody understands what I'm saying. And I don't mean my listeners. My listeners get it. I mean the people in the company. They don't freaking get it. Here is Luke. Luke, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
How you doing, Mr. Henry? I'm calling from Quebec, so that, which means I'm a Canadian. And I was listening to your comments a little earlier, and I got to say that I'm a Canadian dating an American, so I've got a good perspective of both sides of the border. And it's opinions like yours, unfortunately, that give Americans a bad name in the international circle.
We don't care.
I know. Well, you don't care. A lot of Americans.
No, Americans don't care. Why do you think we elected George Bush? You think we give a crap what Europe thinks or what Canada thinks?
Well, what I find is that
we're tired of caring what you people think because it hasn't gotten us anywhere. It hasn't gotten us anywhere except killed.
Well, your way of doing things hasn't gotten you anywhere either.
Really? Well, they just gunned down Mr. Theo Van Gogh in the Netherlands. They're not pulling it over here because they know what the answer to that's going to be. But in Europe right now, it's a battlefield.
Now, another question I got for you.
Yeah, let's just move past that.
When you're that far to the right,
I'm not right. I'm left. But you know what? I'll never explain it to a guy like you.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I voted for George Bush, but I'm a Democrat.
All right, well, that's fine. I'm a middle-of-the-road kind of guy myself. What I've always wondered about is that the U.S. is a country that prides itself on freedom and its amendments and its freedom of speech and all this stuff.
Freest country in the world.
You're allowed to express your opinion as you wish, which is absolutely fine. We have the same thing up here. But then
No, you don't, because I got my show pulled off the air up there because I said something that people didn't like.
I don't think your show was ever on the air.
Yeah, it was. It was on in Toronto. Hold the line, man. I got to go to a break. I'll get right back to you.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. (1-800-449-8686) The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Okay, Luke, sorry, go ahead.
All right, well, the other thing I was wondering about too is that, you know, everybody in North America is allowed to express their opinion all fine and dandy, whether it's negative or whether it's disparaging or whatever, which you do on your show, and that's fine, it's your right. But then you get all bent out of shape when somebody says the S word on the air, all you've got to do is change the channel.
Dude, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Federal Communications Commission has an indecency code that they slap fines on people for violating. They will slap it on me. And it isn't even that.
The only person they've slapped it on is Howard Stern. They don't apply it across the board.
You know what? Are you trying to tell me my business?
No, I'm just thinking it's a shame that you've got a call-in show and you don't let people discuss things with you.
I'm answering a question. You're not going to tell. I don't care whether I got a call-in show or not. You're not going to tell me how broadcasting works. I'm telling you that the employers here, and I've seen the memos, and after that Janet Jackson thing,
yep,
they leaned on everybody. And my company has said, if you guys so much as step out of line, so help me God, you talk about free speech. I got pulled off the air in Canada because I said the word WAP, which I can say freely in the United States. Now, what are you talking about? I'm off the air in Canada, in Toronto. Now, I don't get to say the word, the S word, because my company will fire me and there's a potential fine from the federal government. That's why. I say Steve Jones, as wonderful a rock and roll artist as he might have been or whatever he is, he's a broadcaster now. He's got to play by the same rules I got to play by. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's up to the FCC, though.
Well, I'm expressing an opinion based upon the law.
Well, they haven't come down on a whole lot of people since this has come out, though.
Yes, they have. They've
been fining people. They've come down on.
They've fined all kinds of radio personalities to the point where some guys were fired. They must have fired a half a dozen morning shows in this country after the Janet Jackson incident.
Well, that's a whole other incident because you guys are the only people that got all bent out of shape over that, too, which is.
Yeah, and I noticed Alanis Morissette's comment on that was to come out at the Canadian Grammys wearing a nude suit. If you guys are so loose up there, why doesn't she just come out nude?
Because I think she's a little bit more humble.
Well, she was mocking how uptight we are about nudity. Why didn't she walk out nude?
Because it was cold in the studio, probably.
Come on. You know, the problem, and this is the reason why I said what I said, Canadians used to get it. You guys don't get it anymore.
Canadians still get it.
You're like a bunch of Europeans now, man. You're all
Canadians don't blindly follow their commander in chief.
We're not asking you to follow, but when did you forget that you're North Americans? When did you start being European? When did that happen?
Well, that's what I was trying to explain to your whoever took the call before, is that when you come to Canada, if you come into Quebec, most people here speak French as a first language. They're going to sound foreign to you. Everybody else in the country speaks English, and a lot of Americans don't get that because most of their experience is with Quebec. The rest of Canada is
most experiences with Quebec? No, most Americans' experience is with the English-speaking Canada.
Well, they speak the same English you do, except you guys tend to call
it American.
What's
that got to do with what I'm talking about, though? I'm talking about the fact that...
They're not all uppity and European.
Yeah, yeah, Canadians, English-speaking...
Most Canadians have assimilated an American culture with its TV, music,
yeah, and of course,
schools, whatever.
And, of course, Quebec hasn't with their football teams and their baseball teams. Yeah, you guys are real European. Yeah, you haven't assimilated anything up there. You play football. You do play it with three downs, but you still play it. And you had a baseball team up there up until about a year ago.
Up until about a month ago, yeah?
Yeah.
And we still have a team because Washington can't get their act together to get a team down there.
Yeah, that's really interesting, Luke. Well, thanks so much for calling.
All
right. Yeah, he's a nice guy. You know, I just... What can I tell you? I mean, maybe I don't get it. But if I don't get it, I'm never going to get it. I've tried to see this from both sides. I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow. It's clouds illusions, I recall. I really don't see clouds at all.
What a fag, you little... Ow! Well, why are you talking like that?
I was making a joke. It's a song.
Sounded gay.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Annalise, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm trying to get on your website, and I can't find it on your...
Well, it's do you have a computer?
I do, yes. And they said it was
www.philhenryshow.com.
Can you just hold for a minute? So I can...
Go ahead.
Hello?
It's www.philhenryshow.com. Who is that?
Me.
Well, then who is the other one?
Some other guy.
Okay, now I'm all messed up.
Got it?
I got the www.
Will you...
PhilHenryShow.com. Nope, still porn.
All right. Okay. www.philhenryshow.com. And go and get our stuff, our souvenirs, and our CD. We'll be right back. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
+1 800 449 8686. And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
All right, let's take a phone call here. 1-800-449-8686. This is Viola. Viola, go ahead.
Oh, hi, Phil. It's Viola Levalier.
Oh, hi. How are you?
I'm great. Oh, we are having a ball listening to you tonight. We really are. And Hal and I are on our way to Laughlin.
You guys have a private plane, correct?
We do. We have a pipe.
Were you telling him the story?
Hold on. Al's yelling at me again. Yes, we're flying to Laughlin. Talking to him. And we wanted to ask you a question.
I want you guys to be careful while you're flying, though.
All right,
what's your name? What's your name? Hey, Phil, how are you?
I'm good, sir.
Great. We're having a ball listening to you as usually, and I wanted to ask you a question. Now, keep your eye on the end. Here, I'll do it.
Can you guys either have one or the other talk on the phone while you're... Because it makes me nervous when you fly.
No, we're good, Phil. Listen, I want to ask you a question, if I could, about our grandson, Petey. And Petey wanted to get this Halo 2 game the other night, and he didn't have the money, and so he stole it. And the parents now, which is my son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, is a great, gracious young lady. And she grabbed the phone and fly the plane. Anyway, Phil, Petey stole the game, and...
Well, you're not telling it right. Let me tell it.
Fly the plane. And
look, at one or the other.
He said for me to talk.
No, he didn't. He said that one of the...
Petey stole the game, and fly the plane. Will you please, Viola, please, in the name of everything holy, in the name of the Jesus that hung from the cross for us, would you just fly the plane?
Right, but which is the one that makes it go up?
We're already up, for God's sake. All right, so Phil,
which is the one that makes it go up?
Can you believe that? I married that 43 years ago. That. I married that. Now, look, Petey stole the game. Now, his parents wanted to have counseling, and of course I said, what in the name of the GD heavens you want to do that for when the boy, why are you so cute? What aren't you doing?
Let me tell the story, Phil. They want to have counseling for the boy because they think he needs it.
Well, he stole the game. I think that's a serious thing.
Well, if they weren't so cheap, don't you think if they weren't so cheap, they'd buy the
I'm not doing it, buddy. I'm doing it. No, you're not.
Own. All right, Phil, how level are
you? Look, I'm going to hang up if you guys keep doing this.
Well, see, he said he's going to hang up if we keep doing this.
Who?
The host of the show.
Who's that?
The man I'm talking to.
Well, I don't know who it is.
Who are we speaking with?
Get out of here, will ya?
I'm just kidding. So, Phil, what we want to do is try and get the boy the Halo 2 game. What are you doing, Viola?
Isn't this the switch that makes it fly?
You just turned off the gas, you stu... You whore!
Well, not a phone call goes by from them that they don't stall out. Isn't this the thing that makes it go up? Little Petey stole that Halo 2 game, man. That's a drag. I don't know if Hal and Viola ever have landed that plane properly. I think they crash land it every time they go to Laughlin, man. They just come in. They always get the fire truck out for them when they come flying on in, man. 1-800-449-8686. Let's go to Jeffrey. Jeffrey, is it? Or is it... It's John, right?
It's John or Jeffrey or whatever you like. I was on Pennsylvania Avenue, and they told me that I wasn't supposed to be there. And I said, I can be there if I want to be. And so I was there. And so I don't even know why I called.
All right, thanks. What was the kid's... They just opened up Pennsylvania Avenue, so no one should tell you that you shouldn't be there, although you a while ago you couldn't be there, but they just opened it up, so whatever, man. So you can walk in front of the White House now if you want to. All right, time now to take a look at the news around the world and around the nation. Street fighting in Fallujah, 19 killed, 15 wounded at a Baghdad bomb attack. U.S.-led forces engaged in fierce street fights Thursday in Fallujah, part of an operation that has claimed the lives of 18 U.S. troops and 5 Iraqi soldiers. Combat has become more difficult as the U.S.-led forces have entered the heart of the city, which is west of Baghdad. The troops have begun to dismantle hundreds of homemade bombs left by the insurgents, often while under fire. Now, what they were doing is dropping bombs on those streets, and the bombs would go off, the ones that were there on the street. Major General Richard Dutonsky, commander of the 1st Marines, reported Thursday's death toll, an increase from 11 the day before. So here we go with CNN, just like ABC yesterday. They got a lead with the guys that are dying. Forget about whether it's a success. What's the point, man? Let's move on to something more happy. Ah, Fahrenheit 9/11 sequel. Michael Moore, because he can't stand being out of the public eye, has decided to make a sequel to the hit documentary 9/11. It's going to be called 9/11 and a Half. It's going to be ready in 2 to 3 years. Oh, my God, Moore, move on, man. Move on. Do you know how interested people are going to be in this thing in 2 or 3 years? It's going to be the biggest yawn. I've got money that says it stiffs. What do you think? All right, foreign grad students in the U.S. down. Officials worry about losing market U.S. has enjoyed for years. What market is that? The number of foreign students pursuing advanced degrees in the United States fell this year, strengthening a trend that began after the attacks of September the 11th. all of a sudden now we're worried that we don't have too many foreign students in this country? Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I have kids that are entitled to go to the University of California system because they were born in California, because they went to high schools in California? They can't get into the UC system. Why is that? Because the UC system loves to take all of that bread from the foreign students. They love to get all that foreign money in here. The kids have got good grades, absolutely, you're right, but the fact of the matter is they're not Americans. And the UC system, as it was originally chartered, is for California high school students to be funneled into a university system that is administered by the state and gives them an opportunity to college education. My son, who's got an outstanding GPA and was admitted to USC, couldn't get into any, he got accepted to UC Irvine, but UCLA, UCSB, all of them, man, locked out. You want to know why? Because they got too many foreign grad students and other foreign exchange students, or whatever you call them, that are there. Now, all of a sudden, they're bellyaching because they don't have enough. Whatever, man. You're telling me there's kids in the United States that can't fill those places easily? Survey confirms what we've suspected for some time, that most of the nation's leading research universities are experiencing declines. The major factors are U.S. visa policy, increased international competition, and perceptions the United States is no longer a welcoming country. Well, maybe it's not. For 20 years, at least, we've been screaming about all of the immigrants that have been pouring in here, taking jobs, taking places at universities. Now everybody's crying about it.
Well, there's not any more people coming in.
Because we're no longer a big... You know, the United States is like that fat kid down the street that everybody liked to just come and bounce on and kind of slap around and make fun of. Now that we don't like being slapped around, now we're not friendly and no, we don't let anybody bounce on us and, like, pull our pants down. Now all of a sudden we're real, you know, we're no fun anymore? Is that it?
Yeah, boy, it used to be we could come to America and we could, like, crap in the street and we could just
behave like it was just flick boogers on the ceiling and just like it was one big free enterprise zone, man. Just come in and, you know, pull your pants down and take a pee on the beach and then get on a plane and fly back to Germany or whatever. You know, and so now we're kind of, you know, tightening it up a little bit and suddenly we're like Nazi Germany. Of course no one believes that. Nobody with a brain is going to buy that. That argument may resonate in Europe. But when you see things as obvious as the, you know, Youssef Islam, otherwise known as Cat Stevens, trying to get into the country, get into the country. Get in. Not get out. Get in. He's trying to get in. And because he can't get in, we're a repressive regime. Do you understand how stupid you have to be to dig that point of view? You got to be so dumb that I fear for you around any electrical appliance, a hand mixer, a razor, anything. You could kill yourself with something as simple as a battery-operated nose hair trimmer. Guy can't get in, and so this is Nazi Germany because he can't get into Nazi Germany. Now, you have got to be, without question, one of the all-time candidates for the Guinness Book of Dumb to dig that point of view and go, oh, yeah, I can really get with that, man. I know what he's saying. Huh? I'd like somebody to explain that to me. Now, on second thought, please don't. Groups push for restrictions on illegal immigrants. From the same network, CNN, that brought you the story about how it's sad we don't have more immigrants, now there's a group restricting legal or wanting illegal immigrant restrictions. Now that Arizona's passed a ballot measure to keep illegal immigrants from obtaining some government services, groups in several other states want to do the same thing. Proposition 200 has motivated groups in states such as Georgia and Idaho, California and Colorado already are working to get immigration measures on the ballot. Since Prop 200 passed, there has just been a tidal wave of interest in doing the same thing. You know, I don't care about immigration. The only thing I worry about is that we have happened in the United States what did happen in Canada. We get so many Spanish-speaking people here that California becomes another Quebec, that this becomes a Spanish-speaking state to the point where culturally we begin to have less and less in common with the rest of the country. I wouldn't dig that at all. That's why people are so insistent on having one language. You have to understand, and you can look at Canada, and it gives you a perfect example of what happens when you allow a multilingual society. Because language is the very first means of communicating with anybody. And if you don't have a common language, culturally you have a more difficult time exchanging ideas. Until the next thing you know, your societies become a little bit separate, and you become separate countries. Nobody in their right mind would argue that what has happened to Canada is a good thing. No one, other than the pea brains that live in Quebec. And even they aren't too sure. What's happened to that country is really tragic because they've insisted on two languages being the official languages of Canada. They have basically two countries up there. We don't want that to happen to America. I love Hispanic culture, but by God, speaking English is not racist. It is a means of communication. Nobody says you can't speak Spanish, but to have one official language means you have one official way of communicating. And when you have one official way of communicating, you have a fighting chance at maintaining some cohesiveness in your country. If you start playing around with us, we got five different official languages. You got five different countries, man. And that means I got to move to Idaho then with all them skinheads. Who wants to do that? Although I hear the fishing's good. Pre-order your Best of the Phil Henry Show 2004 CD, baby, at www.philhenryshow.com.
Can you give me that address again?
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.